2 Timothy chapter 5 tonight, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 5, what a blessed thing it is to know the Lord. How wonderful it is to be saved, be a child of God. I hesitate to tell you all this. You might think preacher's a little morbid, but I guess it's okay if you think that. Though I have for years, for umpteen years, I enjoy going to cemeteries and walking through cemeteries and reading the tombstones and that kind of thing. And I have a habit. I go to bed and I'll, you know, if I'm not real sleepy, I'll turn the TV on and I can watch YouTube laying in the bed. And I just look and see what they come up with, all right? I don't necessarily search. I just look and see. And it's been coming up over and over again, this fella that's taking guided tours, if you would, through cemeteries. And he's talking about the graves of entertainers, movie stars, television stars. And I was looking at that, and I watched a bunch of them. You say, why? I don't know. Just kind of find it interesting. But one thing about it I found super interesting to me is how many of those people died very, very young. Very young. Many of them took their own life. Many of them took their own life. Many of them died from drugs. Many of them died from alcoholism, you know. And I thought, there are these people that so many folks in this world look at and think, oh man, they've got it made. And they can't even live with themselves. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I'm saved, all right? I'm just glad I'm a Christian, and I've never felt the urge to take something that'll help me cope with life, okay? I did take something when I was a 9-year-old boy. I took Jesus Christ, and he has helped me to cope with life, okay? He's just helped me to cope with life, and I'm so glad I have, and now I realize different people have different issues and different problems, but how good it is to be saved, you know, just a wonderful thing. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 5, been trying to, and I think you figured this out, but now preach through the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, and been trying to preach through that book, and we've got to a part where honestly I feel very uncomfortable preaching this sermon. But it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, okay? The first part of this chapter instructs us in how we ought to deal with certain people in the church. I tried to preach to you a little bit about that last week and deal with that. Well, today I want you to notice it's not the people, it's the pastor, okay? It's the pastor. So if you will, in verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things, without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. I'm going to leave off reading there. We may take it, go a little further before we get through tonight. But this, as I say, the Apostle Paul's dealing and he's talking to Timothy, and he's talking about how to treat elders. Now, the elder here is not an older individual, all right? And it's not to do with age, but it's the position that we know as pastor, okay? It's the position that we know as pastor. And he gives some things that he said need to be done, you need to take care of. And hey, if we're going to do things scripturally, we need to pay attention to what the Bible says, all right, and everything. And as I said to you, I am, and I you say, preacher, I just don't believe it. Well, I am. It's uncomfortable me preaching this message to my folks at my church. Now, if I was preaching it in another church to other people, I wouldn't be as uncomfortable. All right? You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, because it talks about compensating the pastor. It's talking about compensating. It says, let elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The world today thinks nothing of paying entertainers and athletes astronomical amounts of money. Most of the very wealthy people in our land are entertainers in our day. It's amazing how much. By the way, I did see today that if any of you are interested in a new home, moving T. Boone Pickens' place is for sale, just a cool $170 million. So if you want to pick it up, I believe you could get it, all right? I think we could, just looking at the picture, I think we could all live there and have plenty of room. Hey, the truth of the matter is, you know, and there's a lot of wealthy people, but the world doesn't think too much about that. Yet even many church members and attenders don't think much about taking care of those who provide spiritual help and truth to them. They don't do it. Hey, I've even met with people that do not believe the pastor ought to be paid. I've got some kinfolks that go to a church and they don't believe in paying their preacher. They believe that, no, he's not supposed to be paid. He's just supposed to take, you know, preach and do whatever. And if he doesn't work another job, then we don't want him to be our pastor. Now, the problem with that is those people just don't believe the Bible. They just don't believe the Bible, okay? Because the Bible presents a very different picture. The one thing that helps me tonight is just a couple weeks ago, y'all gave me a raise, okay? So nobody's going to sit here tonight and say he's bucking for a raise, all right? That's not what's going on, okay? Not at all, not bit, you know, a bit about that. Hey, the Bible presents a different picture. The Bible talks about those who rule well and those who labor in the word and doctrine. They're to be well taken care of. The Bible said they're to be counted worthy of double honor. You said, what is that? Well, it's twice as much as just regular honor, okay? And I'm not honestly sure that I can come up to you and tell you straight out this is what it is. You read and different commentators, they've got different opinions, you know. But I believe it boils down very simply, if he's to be counted worthy of double honor, then you ought to take care of him. You ought to see he's taken care of. It's the responsibility of the church to see to it the pastor is taken care of, all right? It's his problem. I believe it's my responsibility to see to it the associate's taken care of. My responsibility to see to it he's taken care of. All right? So I've tried to talk him into looking for another job. No, and I was just kidding about that. I haven't done that. All right? Now, I want you to notice. All right? This is the argument is from a scriptural standpoint. Paul's instruction to Timothy is not just Timothy, I think, but notice what he says, verse 18, for the scripture saith. It's what the Bible says. He says, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. That's a wonderful picture of a preacher, an ox. Okay. What a blessing, right? Hey, that's it. He said, if you've got a beast and they're working and they're treading out the corn and breaking up that grain, he said, you don't put a muzzle on him and keep him from taking a bite every now and then as he's working. You don't do that. It's a scriptural admonition. Then it says the laborer is worthy of his reward. So it's a scriptural position, all right? Scriptural position. You're just to do it. Hey, you want God's blessing on the church. You want God's blessing on you. You need to be sure the man of God's taken care of. Just need to be sure he's taken care of, all right? That doesn't mean he's got to be rich. I have no desire to have gold-plated fixtures in my bathtub. really don't want that, all right? I don't want that. I'm not looking for the latest Gulfstream jet to fly in. I'd settle for a nice Cessna. No, I was kidding. I'm not interested in that. Not looking for that. That, and hey, that's not the requirement, okay? But he's to be taken care of. He's to be taken care of. He's to be blessed. You're to see to it he's taken care of. Now, I'm going to get through that, and let's go to the second point, all right? The second point is not about compensation. It's about correction. Look at verse 19. Against an elder, against a pastor, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. Hey, listen, these are not disjointed passages of Scripture. The context here is in dealing with the elder, with the pastor of a church. And he said, you don't receive an accusation, unfortunately. And boy, this unfortunately, pastors can be guilty of some wrongdoing. Sometimes exceeding wrongdoing, okay? Exceeding wrongdoing. And boy, it's a sad thing. I hate it. Look, I've had some good friends mess up big time. Big time. So what'd you do? Well, I wept for them. It hurt me. I just want to tell you, I don't know if you understand this or not, but when a Pentecostal preacher out here makes the news because of his sin, it hurts the Baptist preacher too. Because everybody lumps everybody in together, especially preachers. You're just another one of them. I think I've mentioned to you in times past, I was visiting one time, and I pulled up in front of this house, went in, knocked on the door, and talking to a guy. He invited me in, and we're sitting, had a big plate glass window there looking out, and I don't even remember what brought it up, but he commented on the fact that I was driving a Cadillac. And in his driveway now was setting a fully customized van. I guarantee you, he paid more for that van than I did that used Cadillac when I bought it, all right? I couldn't afford that Cadillac till it was several years old. I've had several of them in years past, and I enjoyed driving them. But hey, you say, why'd you buy it? Because it's the best deal I could find at the time. That's why. That's why. But people look at that and they, hey, listen, if you drive up in a new Mercedes Benz, I'm not going to be jealous. God bless you, amen. If God blesses you and you can afford that, and by the way, you don't have to quit giving to buy it, okay? You don't use God's money to buy it. Praise the Lord. I'm in favor of it. Man, hallelujah. I'm in favor of it. If you come up in a new motorhome, wonderful. Would you let me borrow it a time or two? Hey, if you can, I'm in favor of it. And there's no jealousy. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right? Amen. That's a good thing. All right? That is a good thing. Hey, listen, when men answer to call to preach, it is not a call to poverty. Okay, it's not a call to poverty. We don't take a vow of poverty. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes preachers mess up. And when that happens, what the Bible tells us is you be careful about taking accusations against a pastor. Can I say this to you? That's good advice regardless of who's being accused. That's good advice regardless of who's being accused. You know, I found that a long time ago. It only takes one person to lie. Just takes one to lie. And they can weave that lie, and if they'll tell it and put it in the right place, and it's amazing how so many people are quick to listen to a lie. I'm going to be honest with you. If somebody comes to me talking about one of you, my first inclination is not going to be, that's terrible. My first inclination is, are you sure? Are you sure? Man, just because somebody tells it doesn't mean it's true. Just because somebody tells it doesn't mean it's true. I could talk to you about some folks who are members of this church and years ago, and the daughter came and told something about their dad, accused him, made accusation against him, split the home, split the family. When it was all said and done, the daughter came back and said, I lied, made it all up. But the damage was done. The damage was done. Hey, you be careful, all right? You be careful, and you especially be careful about receiving an accusation against a man of God. I'm not just talking about me, but also Brother Dunbar. You be careful about receiving an accusation. The Bible says it ought to be two or three witnesses. There ought to be somebody else to corroborate it, not just one person. You say, will that one person always lie? No. But it's a safer thing when there's more than one. Need to be careful about it, all right? We need to be careful. Hey, those who do wrong are not to be overlooked. Those who do wrong are not to be excused. Well, then just let it go. But you need to take care about how it's done. Boy, you need to take care. Hey, it is not unusual for somebody to invent lies regarding a preacher. That is not unusual. Just plain as I've had people tell lies about me. I mean, you know, you say, well, what can you do? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot you can do if somebody wants to lie. Just not a whole lot you can do. But it's an easy thing to do. Many have told lies about preachers. A lot more will before it's all said and done. That's why the Bible tells us those witnesses need to be involved. It's not to be just one word against another. Not to be just one word against another. We live in a time, and man, I'm real careful about saying what I'm going to say here. I don't think there's anything worse than a child abuser. Okay, I just don't think there's anything worse than that. But we live in a day and age where kids will lie. But in this day, they immediately believe the child. That is why here at our church, we try to continually tell you, don't you ever be alone with a child in a room with the door shut. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Stay away from that situation. Don't do that. You leave them doors wide open, wide open. This preacher, I don't want to be alone with a child. I don't want to be alone with a woman. I'm not going to be, okay? I'm just not going to do that, right? Not that I think that there's a whole bunch of women out there that think I'm the real catch, okay? But I'm telling you, the devil uses people sometimes. So I'm going to be very careful, all right? But it's so easy for one person to lie, all right? But if there is sin, the Apostle Paul coming to Timothy says, "You them that sin rebuke before all." If there's sin and that sin is in any way public, then it needs to be dealt with publicly, all right? When it's the man of God, public rebuke is an important thing. It helps to serve. Notice what it says, that others, okay, and that others also may fear. The idea is if you bring that up and it's a public thing, it serves as a deterrent for somebody else. For somebody else down the line, all right? We need to be just, I mean, it ought to be done. Now the Bible, by the way, the Bible is talking about sin. Not personal preferences, not some mistake. There's not a person in this world that doesn't make mistakes, all right? We do. Hey, and we're not talking about a personal vendetta simply because you disagree with the pastor. We can disagree about things without being disagreeable, okay? We can disagree about something, but it shouldn't mean a falling out. It shouldn't mean, I'll get even. What do we need to get even about, all right? And it ought not to be approached from that kind of standpoint. What we're talking about, and what Paul's talking about here, is talking about sin. Notice, them that sin. Them that sin. That's who you deal with, all right? Hey, people make mistakes. People mess up. I've had people get mad at me, quit coming to church because I'm coming down the aisle on a Sunday morning, and they stop me and they say, "Would you pray for so-and-so? I need you to pray for him." Okay. Nothing on the paper. Listen, you got no idea how many things are going through my head when I'm coming down the aisle, coming to Sunday church, preach. And you get up and you forget that. And the person said, "Well, you didn't do what I asked you to. Forget it. I'm done." I made a mistake. Did I intentionally? No. Made a mistake. Hey, listen. If I offend you, now if I offend you preaching the Bible, you need to get right. You need to get right. But if I offend you personally through some way, don't you feel like you owe it to me to let me know that? To give me a chance to make it right? There's some folks that won't do that. I've known of folks like that there was an issue and they got upset with somebody, and I said, "Well, look, I understand where you're coming from. I understand your point of view. But you know what? You need to give that individual a chance to make it right. And you're wrong if you won't let them get a chance to make it right. You're wrong. You're wrong." Let me say this to you. I don't care if it's me or somebody else. If somebody offends you and you will not give them a chance to make it right, you're doing worse than they are. You're doing worse than they are. Okay? Hey, man, over the years, preachers, what we do is run our mouth, okay? We talk a lot. We talk a lot. Sometimes things come out different than the way you wanted them to come out. And you didn't intend it to come out the way it come out. You didn't intend for it to sound the way it sounded. And somebody gets offended, and then you come and say, "Man, listen, let me explain. I'm trying. Is this what I mean?" But no, it won't accept your apology. Forget it. Can't do anything. Well, the Bible says them that sin. Hey, sin's got to be dealt with. Sin must be dealt with. And it needs to be out there, and it needs to be rebuked. Not anything wrong with that. It needs to be done. And depending upon what the sin is, and I'm not going there tonight, okay? Depending upon what the sin is depending upon what has to be done. But it has to be dealt with, and it should be. And I want you to notice what the Bible says about it. We're going to read several more verses right here. After verse 20, and you're going to think, "Well, this didn't have anything to do with that." Well, it does. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Now, don't read the next verse. Now, I know I said that, and you'll read it. The drunkard's favorite verse in the Bible. And we'll get there, all right? If you'll stay with me here, we'll get there in a minute. Now, notice what the Bible said, "Them that sin rebuke before all." And then he says, "Now I charge thee, you be careful in what you do and how you do it, and you don't prefer one before another. You don't do anything in partiality, okay? In partiality. You need to treat people the same. There needs to be consistency in the way people are treated, all right? It is easy for us to accuse one and excuse another one because of our different relationships with the different people. So what we would accuse one of, we excuse this one of, and overlook it and say, "Well, I'm going to give you a pass on that. Because, hey, that's partiality. Paul warned Timothy against doing that kind of thing. But that's human nature. We have a tendency, you know. Laymen and laity need to be dealt with in an impartial manner. We need to do it without showing favoritism. Sometimes we treat folks differently because we like their personality or because they happen to be a good friend. But that person over there, they've rubbed me the wrong way for years anyway. Let's nail them. No, let's don't. I've always said this. I think you ought to treat people the way you want to be treated. You ought to treat people the way you want to be treated. Just plain and simple. I mean, we ought to try to treat people the same. Different people, you have different relationships with different people. How many of you come from a big family? Big family, all right? There you go, big family. I don't come from a big family. I got one brother. That's it. We either agree or we disagree. I can't go to another brother and gang up on him. There ain't another brother. My dad came from a family, had five sisters and one brother. Now, when you got seven kids in the family, how many kids y'all have in the family? Seven? All right, have seven. How many? Six. Okay, there you go. There you go. How many? Nine. Oh, mercy. There's warfare there. All right. When you got that many people, you can form alliances and gang up and crucify one of them, right? You know, and you did, sure, yeah. Hey, if you got a big family, you're going to have, in most instances, there's going to be a closer relationship with some of them than there is with other ones. Some of it may be because your ages are close. Could be that, all right? It can be a lot of things. It can be personalities, all right? But some of them, they're just going to be trouble, all right? There's going to be jealousy. I've told you before, my dad's family, his sisters, there was jealousy. Oh, my word, there was jealousy. You know, I mean, the grandkids, we'd come together at family gatherings and wait to see who got in the fight first, all right? Because we knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to take place. Hey, so I'm just saying this. It's natural that you may be closer to somebody. Hey, in the house of God, in the church, it's natural that you may be drawn closer to some than you do others. You may share common interest, you know, and they're just saying, or you just may hit it off, right? Who knows? But we're to treat everybody impartially. Just because I like that one a whole lot and I don't like that one as much, doesn't mean we treat them differently. We'll treat them the same. I had a preacher friend, good friend, close friend, got into sin. When I first heard it about it happened, I said, nah, he wouldn't do that. He just wouldn't do that. I know him. That's not the kind of thing he'd do. I know better. He wouldn't do it. But I found out he did. He said, what about it? I just want you to know that I was still his friend. I was still his friend. But he got what he deserved. Okay? I didn't think it ought not to happen to him because he's my friend. No. What happened to him, he deserved. What happened? He went to prison. He should have gone to prison. Should have gone to prison. I'm still his friend. Oh, well, he passed away now. I was still his friend and considered him to be my friend. But I didn't think he ought to be treated differently because he was my friend. Hey, that impartiality, we're to be consistent in the way we treat people. Not only are we to be consistent, but we're to be careful. Careful. Look at verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. That doesn't mean don't slap them. That's not what it's talking about, all right? Lay a hand suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Timothy was told, you take care in choosing those who are going to have leadership positions. You be careful. You need to take time to check folks out. I know of churches, I'm sure Brother Off the Dog could tell you of churches he knows of, I'm sure Brother Dunbar can, of churches, good churches, but they call the wrong pastor. They call the wrong pastor. Destroyed the church. Destroyed the church. Said, how'd do it? They weren't careful enough. You need to take time to check folks out, all right? In our day, we use the terminology, we need to thoroughly vet them, all right? Not exactly sure what vetting them is, but I thought a vet was a guy that worked with animals. But anyway, but hey, we need to check things out. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. We don't just need to be, hey, the church doesn't need to be too quick in calling a pastor. But at the same time, don't take forever, okay? Don't take forever. But you don't need to be too quick. You need to just really check things out. You need to delve into it. You need to pray. You need to pray, all right? Just be so careful, because so much damage can be done when we get in a hurry, all right? We get in a hurry. Notice what the Bible says in that same verse, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. You say, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Hey, when we get too big a hurry and we put the wrong person in, then that person goes and causes sin and trouble. Hey, we're partakers. We're partakers. Because we were involved in it. You say, well, it was ignorant. Well, we should have tried to not be so ignorant, okay? Take some time. Take some time. Be careful about what you do, all right? Be careful, all right? And the Bible says, hey, you keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. Hey, it helps to keep the church pure, too, when we take time. We need to be careful about it, all right? Hey, there's numerous churches. I've got an email sitting in my email right now from a fellow I've never heard of. I've never met him. I don't know why he sent me the email, but he started out by saying, we're back in Texas, and I'm looking for a place to minister. I think, well, why'd you send me an email? I don't have the foggiest idea who you are. I'm not fixing to recommend him. I don't know. It could be the greatest guy in the world, but I don't know him. I'm not fixing to recommend him. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Why? I don't want to be partakers of other men's sins if that were to be involved. I want to keep myself pure, all right? Hey, by the way, can I say this right here? Just kind of, I wrote it in my notes. I think that's why I try to be real careful in who we choose to support as missionaries. Try to be real careful. Real careful. There's some people that have come, and I liked them. But I just didn't feel the Lord leading me to lead you as a church to take them on for support. Now, sometimes, as time went on, I was real glad I hadn't. Now, I didn't know they were going to turn out the way they did, anything's going to happen. But occasionally, but now you say, well, are you batting 1,000? No, some of them turned out to be great. But for whatever reason, I just didn't feel like the Lord wanted us to support them. So I'm careful. That's why I really like missionaries being able to be with us in the mission conference. Because you get to know them a little better, you know? You get to rub shoulders with them a little more. You get to talk to them more. Hey, when somebody's just here for one service, they come in one night, maybe stay in the prophet's chamber up at the Christian school, and they're just here and they're in and they're service, and then they're gone. It's hard to know much about them. You can talk to them, but you just don't get, I use this terminology, you don't get the feel for them, all right? Hey, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. That's what the scripture's saying. Why? Because sometimes it takes a while for a conduct and character to reveal itself. Now, verse 23, I want to cover it before we leave, all right? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Hey, in Timothy's day, the water wasn't safe. It was tough stuff. But wait a minute. Let's still go back to it. How much medicine have you taken that's got an alcohol content in it? Man, I remember when we were young growing up, my dad's favorite recipe, if you had a sore throat or a cough, was this stuff called turpentine hydrate. And I don't know if you ever took any of it or not, all right? But from the instant it touched your tongue, it burned all the way down. But it helped. But it had a high alcohol content. So I had to keep an eye on my brother if we had a bottle at the house. Nah, not really. Okay. But it did, all right? It had an alcohol content. Can I just say this to you, okay? Would you look at that word right in front of wine there? Little. Now, this is the drunk's favorite verse. Well, the Bible doesn't say have a snort when you feel like it. Okay? And by the way, and I'm not going to spend the time going into all the things about wine in the Bible. Hey, I will say this. The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That same book says, look not on the wine when it's red in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. So what's it talking about? That means when it's fermented, you need to stay away from it. Stay away from it. You can't justify your drinking from the Word of God, and you can't justify it from here, all right? Timothy had some medical issues. Paul said that would help you, all right? That would help you a little. A little. But now remember, that word wine covers a multitude of things for us. Now, when we read wine and we think wine, we think of those bottles that you can buy here, there, and everywhere nowadays. And if you'll imbibe yourself of it, you'll wind up drunk if you stay with it long enough. Okay? That's not true with every verse that talks about wine in the Bible. So we'll discuss that later, all right? Some men's sins, verse 24, are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Hey, remember the context? The context is still the elder. That's still the context, okay? This is what he's talking about. He said character's going to be revealed in conduct, but it may take a while. He said, some men's sins, right there. You see it, it's immediate. But some, he said, they follow after. It comes on down the line a little bit. It's time. You give most wicked people enough time and their true character is going to be revealed. It'll come out. We'll see why they shouldn't be chosen to lead. All right? But likewise, that good and that right will be revealed too. And when you're not sure, that's why Paul says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Give it some time. Give it some time. People need a little seasoning, all right? People need, and different people, if you will, kind of season, if you will, at a different rate. Kind of like we talk about maturity. To me, maturity is one thing people don't have today. I honestly believe the people in the 40s and 50s had more maturity when they were 17 and 18 than a lot of people today that are 35. They don't have maturity. Okay? It shows up differently in different people. I think Paul's very plain to Timothy. Timothy, keep an eye on it. Make sure you check them out first. You be careful. Hey, remember, everything's going to be revealed in judgment. The good, the bad, the mistakes, the failures, the successes, they'll come out. So what's the lesson for me? You give it your best in this life, so in that day, you won't need to be ashamed. You won't need to be ashamed. You will have done what you should have done. You will have done what you should have done. All right? Whether it be compensating the pastor, or it be, correcting the pastor, whatever it is, you do what's right scripturally, you'll not have to be ashamed. You'll not have to be ashamed. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to see the Word of God. Lord, here it is. It's the Scripture. It's plain. We're to deal with it. We're to apply it in our lives. And Lord, I think about these verses. So easy for us to show partiality.